This is Rod Peterson on demand. No!
I say it every day with the people that I'm around. It's not that people are dumb, maybe ignorant. Ignorant means unaware of how things work. We've really realized this in the last 6 months about a lot of things.
How about that?
I'm not criticizing you. I've just never met anybody like that before. Everybody in my circle likes a little bit of everything, or a lot of everything. But that's the whole idea of diversifying, right? Variety is the spice of life.
This is the Rod Peterson Show.
Happy Flame Tech Football Friday, everybody. Welcome to the RP Show. Thanks for joining us for coffee today. I feel like we're going to be going through a lot of it today. Caliber Coffee, RP here, DD there, Darren DuPont. How you doing, sir?
I'm doing well.
Good. What's new?
I watched Monday Night Mayhem last night. I started it.
I've got you hooked on Howard Cosell.
Oh, do you ever?
Yeah.
Yeah, so intriguing and interesting. And
Howard Cosell.
That's exactly how he sounds.
Oh, I know. There's a lot of people watching. Have no idea who you're even talking about. What a good football segue. And hey, listen, it's a very big day. You know, we're going to get to it in the quick six show topics. But the ringing of the market. The bell is open as of 90 seconds ago. NHL free agency is underway. So while we'll be talking a lot of football today, CFL, NFL, U Sports, and NCAA, we'll be weaving through the show today, whatever NHL news may pop up. I'm excited about the guest list, of course. John Frenzy's going to be with us. Hall of Fame Rough Riders broadcaster Torrey Gurley, Cleveland Browns, Green Bay Packers alum, wide receiver. He's going to drop by with Torrey's tips for Wheaton Kia. Each week, our viewers have won money taking Tori's fantasy advice. We'll see if we can make it five straight weeks here. And Craig Rowe will be joining us, Toronto Argonauts defensive end. Nice work by producer Clark, digging in the corners, digging out this interview with Craig Rowe because, he came out with a line of books during this pandemic, something? Yes, he will be telling us about it.
He's been breaking down game film on his social media quite a bit, and now he's turned it into a book on pass rushing techniques and success tools. So that's really cool.
Very smart guy, and his wife's really cool too. I got to ask him about her. She seemed to be falling in love with Saskatchewan when she drove through it. You like that, Lynch? Ba-dum-bum-tsh. So, anyways, we're just getting rolling here on a Flame Tech Football Friday. Those are the guests. Let's go to the quick six show topics here in the warm-up, if you don't mind, Director Jordan. Number one, as we mentioned, NHL free agency opens now. Officially, it was 3 minutes ago, and that is our poll question, believe it or not, even though it's a Football Friday. Who's the most coveted free agent on the market? The daily poll question for Capital Automall Universal Collision Center. Our options that we came up with in the pregame meeting are Taylor Hall, Alex Pietrangelo, Jacob Markstrom, or other. And the runaway favorite right now is the captain of the St. Louis Blues, Alex Pietrangelo. He's got 58% of the vote on Twitter. And what are they saying on 44?
Yeah, 44. Tied with Taylor Hall on Facebook.
They both got 44% on Facebook. So that's interesting. I have my thoughts on who's coveted, who should be staying, who should be going. None of this makes sense to me. You understand? You get Jacob Markstrom's the most important player on the Vancouver Canucks. Why are we sitting here with him going to free agency? Not to mention a lot of other players. It's not just those three that are there. This is where money ruins the game. I'm just going to say that.
Mm-hmm.
You have to agree.
I agree with you. And we have this massive recency bias that totally clouds all of our judgment. And the biggest one, I mean, Thatcher Demko played amazing in those couple of games.
Is that why he's expendable, do you think?
But a couple of games. Is that a reason enough to, you know, have Jacob Markstrom go to the market? I don't know. But it could be money. He may end up back in Vancouver, but, you know, he's been linked to Calgary and a few other places. So, yeah, the money, it's going to be an interesting day.
I totally get why NHL fans and hockey fans are so excited. Believe me, I do. And as a goalie guy, they're saying Braden Holtby might go to the Oilers. Markstrom might go to the Oilers. Where's Talbot going? Where's Henrik Lundqvist going? Hey, I get it. It's just, it doesn't excite me as much as the games. So when my notifications go off and we get news and producer Clark sees it on Twitter, we'll be putting it up here on the monitor. But other than that, let's go to football. Point two, Thursday Night Football last night. Full disclosure, we came home from the Sim game last night. I flipped on Thursday Night Football and I was watching the Bears march it late. I guess they would have been down 19-17 late. There's a minute to go and I'm like, they're going to kick a field goal. I'm turning this off because I don't want to, I can't stand to see Tom lose. on Thursday Night Football. I turned it off, Darren.
Wow. You could feel it happening.
Well, yes, but not the way it ended. I completely missed Tom Brady flubbing up what down it was. Coming back the other way. I didn't think there'd be enough time left. A minute to go in the National Football League? Like, I thought it was over. Mm-hmm. I didn't think the Bucs were going to get the ball back. Lynch and I were talking about this in the car on the way up. So it wasn't until afterwards when I didn't go to sleep. We watched a show on Netflix. She went to sleep. I went downstairs to do some work, turned on SportsCenter, and I'm like, what? The Bears kicked that field goal, but the Bucs had a chance to win it on a drive just to kick a field goal of their own. And as you know, you saw it, Tom Brady got mixed up on what down it was. And it kind of bothers me. Look, there's a meme that I put up on my recovery account where it said, some people will love you no matter what you do. Some people will never love you no matter what you do. Go where the love is. I will love Tom Brady no matter what he does. You get it, right? Bill Belichick, I'll never love him no matter what he does. So for Tom, he flubbed up the downs. What I hate in the world in sports right now, and even the anchors, should be ashamed of themselves. Tom's not perfect. He screwed up on the last play. Like they never made a mistake. Like they never flubbed a line. I get that Tom was barking out his offensive line. I get that. Didn't make him look real good late in the game. And then you got the coach coming out after the game saying, Bruce Arians saying, Tom knew what down it was. No, he didn't. If you want evidence that coaches lie, Exhibit A right there, Bruce Arians after the game saying Tom knew what down it was. No, he didn't. What was he singling this for supper after the game? So anyways, it was an abomination for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers last night on Thursday Night Football. I just can't bring myself to think ill of Tom Brady.
Yeah, no.
Over to you.
I never will either. I mean, I'm a Tom Brady fan as well. I got the book and, you know, watch the shows, that kind of thing. But it's just disappointing, you know. But everybody thinks that Tom Brady's going to go to Tampa Bay. And all of a sudden, they're going to be the Patriots, and they're just going to be, you know, bulletproof, and they're not going to make any mistakes. This is still a team that, you know, hasn't made the playoffs in a while. They haven't won haven't had a lot of postseason success since they won the Super Bowl. So they're not just going to be flipped overnight. There's a lot that has to get flipped in that room in terms of culture, and it hasn't happened in 4 weeks.
They're 3-2,
but it's growing.
Yeah, they're 3-2. They'll be in the playoffs. But as was my commentary on Cat Country, here's the sad thing. It's very evident that the New England Patriots and Tom Brady need each other, but divorce has happened. Neither one of them is going to get to the Super Bowl and win it. So, like most divorces, in the end, nobody wins.
Life will never be like it was.
No. But, hey, marriages come to an end sometimes. They're not all sunshine and rainbows. So anyways, moving on. Point three, for the people in this province, the rectangle, Saskatchewan, Sask Health announcing return to play for hockey yesterday for pretty much every league except for the Western Hockey League. And the reason the Western Hockey League is not playing is because they can't count on Manitoba, Alberta, BC, Oregon, and Washington. They have teams that league in all those jurisdictions. But for every other league, it's ring the bell worthy. And my phone's going off like nuts from guys and gals that are just excited to be playing. So kudos, hat tip to the province of Saskatchewan, the health authority for I don't know if you watched the video from the chief medical officer, Dr. Shahab, I'm sure you did, where he said there's been no evidence that playing hockey transmits the disease at a rapid rate. So as long as you follow the guidelines and you continue to follow the guidelines of social distancing, washing your hands, mask wearing at appropriate times, will allow you to play hockey. So can I say bravo to them for coming to that conclusion?
Absolutely. I think that's a great thing. I think they've, you know, done their due diligence. They've been patient enough. They haven't rushed it. And now they're allowing it to happen. And you know, as long as we, you know, play by the rules and as long as we take this seriously and, you know, are happy to be playing the game, everything's going to be great. If we try and just go completely back to normal and, you know, and ignore all the safety protocols, they'll pull it as fast as they've let us play. So I think it's a great day.
It is. I'm excited. I'll be back in the booth broadcasting games with Nugsy for the Notre Dame Hounds. We'll be part of the provincial broadcast, the league broadcast on Sastel Max TV, of which carries Game Plus Network. So we're all very happy around here with a return to play for hockey. Can we put up the comment from Norway? Let's go to Norway, where it is 6:10 p.m. Norwegian time. Trent Bruner says, Norway calling. I predict the Rays will beat the Yankees and meet the Astros in the AL Championship Series. But will the Astro and Dodgers meet in the World Series? This could be Kershaw's last chance to win the big one. I hope the NFL gets their COVID business in order. Have a good weekend. Thank you, Trent and Bruner. Trent Bruner in Norway, stay safe over there. And I'm getting to that point, by the way. Actually, I didn't have baseball written down, but you see the Astros are into the ALCS for a fourth consecutive year. It was one of our Quick Six show topics yesterday. Well, the Astros and Dodgers, are they on a collision course for the World Series? If there's a baseball god, it'll happen. Don't you think? In Tampa, they feel otherwise, but I just think this would be the perfect ending.
It would be
for the Major League Baseball season.
Yeah, it would be something, and you'd have a lot of eyeballs on it, just simply because of all the hate against the Astros. That they'd be the big bad villain. You'd have the Dodgers would be the the good story team.
Oh yeah,
it would be fun.
You would think the TV networks for sure are praying for that. Jeff in Calgary, the Stamps fan, says if Brady Belichick was a marriage, I guess they had six kids. Yes, but those Vince Lombardi trophies aren't the ones hurting right now. It's Patriots fans, and believe me, they're hurting. A lot of viewers from Calgary, I'll just say, hey, Cowtown, thanks for checking in today. Don McNeil's watching in Central Ontario. He says, the Bucs are 3-2 and haven't beaten a team with a winning record. They don't need to apologize for anything. You beat who's on the schedule in front of you. With no preseason, this is still just a tune-up, right? I'm not sure how much things are going to change in the NFL between now and the end of the regular season, but I think the Bucs are going to be in the playoffs. Patriots, who know? The way their players are falling like flies because of coronavirus, and don't forget their stars that opted out, Dante Stallworth, chief among them. It's must-see TV, man.
Yeah, it is.
It's must-see TV, and that's what's great for the National Football League. To point four, the Canadian Football League Scouting Bureau unleashed its fall rankings. And the number one prospect is Iowa offensive lineman Alaric Jackson. He plays at Iowa. He's from Windsor. I was saying with Lynch on the way up here in the car, there's not a lot of talk about the CFL right now, and CFL draft prospects don't generally generate a lot of news. Now, having said that, last year's number one overall pick, Jordan Williams from the East Carolina Pirates program, was a linebacker. Went number one overall. In the second round, the Lions went with Nathan Rourke, the Mississauga kid who played at Ohio, which just is another kick in the cojones that there is no CFL football this year because you want to see all these guys. But I guess if the prospects are all there is to talk about in the CFL right now, that is dire straits. Like the NHL draft, this, like, don't at me because I'm not in on the CFL draft because I'm not really in on the NHL draft either. I'm just not big on it. It's not my thing. It's just unfortunate there's not more to talk about in CFL right now.
Yeah, it is.
You dig?
I dig. I mean, there's no contracts. There's no player movement. There's no depth charts. There's no training camps. There's no workouts. There's no CFL week. There's literally nothing. And that's the part that's disappointing. There's not even, you know, a targeted start date. And then at least if you put a hypothetical start date out that we're starting here, then you can start to, you know, hypothesize what this offseason might look like. Now, where you might have a workout here and a workout there, and prospects will come in here and we'll have the draft, and you can start figuring out that, and then you can start looking at what teams' needs are, and you can start, you know, having real conversation like you hear on the NFL Network for 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year, because you have a plan. With no plan, there's nothing to talk about.
So it's a great point, and because it is a Flame Tech Football Friday, Flame Tech is your industry leader in combustion services, it's a good point. I wonder if the CFL should be transparent with what they're doing to get onto the field in 2021. Believe me, their fans want to know. I want to know. You want to know. You want to know, Lynch?
Sure do.
Of course, but they're not obligated to do that. People may or may not want to know what our plans are for this program for the future, and I don't think you want to divulge them publicly. So I guess there's something to be said that you could divulge what you are comfortable with the people knowing, or just keep it a gigantic circle of secret amongst yourselves, which is what the CFL is doing. That's what they've decided to do, because that's very clear. They're not making any of this information public, and it's not our right to know it. But I think it's at their own peril. That's my position on it.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, you don't want to let the cat out of the bag and have it getting out and maybe potentially ruining your path to get there. and something going crazy. But having people talk about it is about your league is so important because this country cares about football. They care about the Canadian Football League. And now they're not talking about it. Now all weekend, you know, all we're talking about is what's going to happen with the NFL and what games are going to get pushed back. And we're waiting to find it on Sunday. And so we'll all be up early with our coffee, ready to watch the games. We could be talking about the CFL around the Thanksgiving table. But we won't be.
Jeff, the Stams fan, writes in and says, TSN will run CFL Thanksgiving Day games this weekend. That's a TSN decision, not a CFL decision. And they might have made that decision in concert with each other. But again, that's a TSN thing. It's funny because I remember playing a game with the Rough Riders in Edmonton on a Thanksgiving Monday 5-6 years ago. And it was awesome. I think it was the biggest crowd of the year. It was beautiful weather in Edmonton. You know, the fall colors. And I remember the Edmonton people saying, this is something we want to get a tradition. Saskatchewan against us Eskimos on Labor Day or Thanksgiving Day Monday every year. Was the last that happened. So maybe we can start over when we come back and start some new traditions.
And make no mistake, TSN will have a full slate of NFL games on Sunday.
Yeah.
And they'll have the Monday night.
And a doubleheader Monday. There's two games Monday as I was looking at the week
five schedule. Thanksgiving Day games might be a little bit tomorrow, but
the NBA fans are writing in. I got you. 0.5 NBA finals could end tonight. Will you be watching? I don't think we'll be because I think we're going to a movie, but it's Lakers Heat tonight in the Orlando bubble. Lakers have a 3-1 lead, and should they win tonight, it'll be their first title in over 10 years. And they're saying that if LeBron wins it, he'll be crowned the greatest ever. Nope. Anybody saying that still never watched MJ. This still won't get him 6 titles. No, he's not the best. Sorry. 0.6 CFL Sim last night. Outstanding game in Ottawa. Darren and I called it. The Ottawa Red Blacks upset the Saskatchewan Rough Riders 14-8 to solidify their playoff hopes. Not clinch it, but help it. And the play of the game was a 95-yard touchdown. We should have played the highlights here.
Yeah, we could have.
Da-da-dun, da-da-dun. Highlight of the night was Marco Dubois, 95-yard touchdown reception from Nick Fatty Arbuckle in a Red Blacks win over the Rough Riders, who have now lost 5 in a row. And there's a lot of virtual heat on virtual head coach Craig Dickinson and quarterback Cody Fajardo. Colin in Ottawa is watching. He says the CFL didn't have a Thanksgiving Day game last year, I think. I think you're right. I can't really remember. Michael King writes in. He says, happy Canadian Thanksgiving to all Rider fans. I will extend that to all CFL fans.
How about that?
How about that?
Okay, I got more for you, but we'll save it till overtime,
sure,
okay?
Sure.
I want to know your thoughts on how COVID is impacting NFL fantasy. Our next guest can talk about that, but I overheard you talking about it last night.
Yeah.
How it's muddling everything up.
It is.
So we'll talk with Tori about that, our NFL insider coming up for Wheat and Kia. And John Frenzy, too. It's all Wheat and Kia when we come back on this Flame Tech Football Friday. You're watching on Game Plus TV Network, Facebook Live, and listen live at rodpeterson.com.
You got something to say? You want to add to the show? What are you waiting for? Don't just sit there. Say something. Hey, honey, can you get one of the kids to show me how this Twitter thing works? Honey, I need to get on Instagram. Time for more of the Rod Peterson Show.
It is, and we're back, and it's a Flame Tech Football Friday. Breaking news as we go. We mentioned NHL free agency opened 22 minutes ago. We got signings. Bobby Ryan signing a 1-year deal with the Detroit Red Wings. Wayne Simmons signing a 1-year deal with the Toronto Maple Leafs. Tampa has officially placed Tyler Johnson on waivers. And there's a report that Henrik Lundqvist has indeed signed with the Washington Capitals. So we will tell our blossoming NHL insider, Eddie Lack, not to quit his day job. He predicted that King Henrik would be going to Colorado. Doesn't look like it. And from our viewers, Les Peach writes in, he says, LeBron is nowhere close to the greatest ever, even if he wins tonight, but the man can throw a 4-year-old temper tantrum like no other.
That's true.
You hear the familiar cackle of Hall of Fame Rider broadcaster John Frenzy. His appearance is brought to you every Friday by Wheaton Kia. Find them in North Regina at the corner of Albert and Avonhurst. The logo on his shirt is tucked in behind his microphone there. And Tory Gurley's Tory's Tips brought to you by Wheaton Kia, too. Let's bring in Tory now, the NFL, CFL, NCAA alum. Hey, Tory, thanks for hanging on through that. How you doing, my man?
I'm good. How you guys doing?
Good. Let's jump right into the NFL, and then we will come back around on NFL and maybe CFL and NBA. But last night, Thursday Night Football, Tom losing track of downs on the last drive. What was your takeaway from the Bears' 20-19 win over Tampa Bay?
It just showed that the Tampa Bay Buccaneers have a lot to work on, regardless of you bringing in one of the best quarterbacks of all time and Tom Brady. Football is a team sport, and it showed that the offensive line is not Super Bowl ready. Khalil Mack and the Chicago Bears was able to get after him in a two-minute drill, and I think that's what flustered Tom Brady the most. He felt that pressure the entire game. I mean, there's one particular play that stands out when Khalil Mack was able to get around the tackle, sack Tom, and then the tackle was still on him, and he hip-tossed him, a 325-pound man. So when you have those type of athletic freaks on the field, it can really distract you from getting the job done. And I think that was the ultimate reason why Chicago was able to get the win to close out the game yesterday.
Lynch, you'd agree. Thought Khalil Mack was the MVP of the game. Why don't you two talk about it for a bit? You can throw your questions at Tory.
Well, now, at the end of the game there, Tom looked like he didn't know fourth down. He forgot. He couldn't count. After three downs, he thought it was the third down going to the fourth down. The four downs were gone. The game was over pretty well. It was quite strange that a guy like him would make that kind of mistake, Tory.
It kind of reminds me of a parent. And what I mean by that, do you guys remember, like, you know, when your kids are running up to you and they're like, Mom, I'm hungry, or Mom, I'm supposed to take my medicine, or Dad, I'm supposed to take my medicine. And everybody's coming at you at once, and you're trying to get dinner ready, and you're trying to handle everything, and then actually you sit down and it hits you like, oh my goodness, like little Johnny didn't take his medicine. And it just throws you off because you've been distracted by all the things that's kind of going on. And I felt like the Chicago Bears really threw the kitchen sink at them when it came to just getting pressure with four people. I mean, it's not like they came with any exotic blitzes. It was just a straight four-man rush. And regardless whoever you have at quarterback, when he feels that pressure, pressure bust pipes. And that's exactly what happened yesterday in the Thursday night ball game.
He hasn't had that kind of pressure for a long time. He was sacked about three or four times in a row there, and he didn't like it.
No quarterback likes that. And it really shows in New England when you have guys like Bill Belichick and Josh McDaniels, they prepare for those situations. And Bruce Arians is still filling out Tom Brady, but when you're in a new system, coaches do things differently. And he wasn't able to rely on the stuff he's done in New England. Now he's in Tampa, and it works out like totally different. The way they scheme up plays, the way they think during the two-minute drill, and that's something that most fans really take for granted, and most players. You know, you really don't realize how great you have it until it's gone. And I'm quite sure when Tom got back on the bus, he was like, damn. You know, when I was in New England, I never experienced it. I always knew the down and distance because I had an offensive coordinator that was very meticulous about that. I had a head coach that stayed on me about it. And sometimes in Tampa, you know, they're not buttoned up. Not saying that they can't, you know, you should be like the New England Patriots, but, you know, everybody has their own way of coaching, and it showed, like, in the details of penalties and also not knowing the down and distance in a football game.
You're right, Tory, but we saw them work like a Swiss watch for almost 20 years. It's a new group. You made a very good point, but people expect perfection right off the jump. Now, before we get to the fantasy stuff, you're so well connected in the National Football League. What are the guys saying about the COVID outbreaks and the chaos that's going on in the NFL right now here as we get into week five?
My heart goes out to those players because we're the only professional sport league where the contracts are not guaranteed. And the only way you can make that money is in a signing bonus or performing on Sundays. You get 16 Sundays to go out and earn your checks. And a lot of people don't understand this, is that football players go through hell and high water to get their check. You know, I've seen guys that couldn't walk around the campus or couldn't walk, but when it was game day, they were able to run because they will themselves to do it. You know, football really tests your mental and your physical. So when it comes to something as extreme as COVID, you know, guys were probably like, you know what? I can't afford to sit at home on my butt. I sat at home on my butt the entire offseason, and I need to get out here and prepare myself for this game, because when it's contract time, these agents, the owners and the general managers are not going to cut you any slack by saying, well, hey, you know, player X, you know, we're going to still give you the money that you're asking for because we know this was a tough year for you. Now, they're still going to expect you to go out and perform. And that's something that's conditioning all young football players from the little league all the way up to college. You know, everybody knows this. The way you practice is the way you play. So, you know, I can't get mad at anyone that was, you know, trying to do whatever it takes so that they can put out the best performance on Sundays to help provide for their family. Now, if the team organized it, then the team should be punished. But I can't be mad at any individual because we understand, man, this is a performance-based business. And fantasy owners, fans, even coaches, they have a short leash for it. The only thing that matters is wins and losses, and the wins really matter a lot. So hopefully these guys can work through this. I'm hoping that towards the end of the year when it comes to playoffs, they can do a bubble or something where they isolate those players so you don't have to worry about your star quarterback or your star cornerback going out with COVID, you know, where it can give those 8 to 10 teams the opportunity to go out and fight for that Super Bowl. Because I would hate, you know, the night of a Super Bowl game, you have a star player that can't play because he's tested for COVID. You know, that's something that I wouldn't wish that on my worst enemy, because we know how hard it is to win in this ball league.
But now, for the most part, most of the teams are doing okay down there, except like Tennessee. They got about 10 or 12 guys that are going to be suspended now.
23.
Now, that's unbelievable. Torrey, how could that happen? They do be that bad.
The players took the initiative to work out on their own. And football is one of those sports where you got to have your teammates. Like, regardless of what's going on, like, I'm a receiver, and let's say I'm playing with the Green Bay Packers. I got to go out and work out with Aaron. Like, it doesn't make any sense for me to work out with my personal trainer, my high school coach, my siblings, my kids. I need to be with Aaron, or Aaron needs to be with me, or vice versa, because that's how the game of football is. It isn't such thing as, like, you can play pickup hockey or go play pickup basketball in the gym and you still get those reps. The reps matter with you getting it with your teammates. And, you know, football is basically just it's choreography. You know, that's all it is. Everything is set. It's a one big dance, and you want to make sure that you and your teammates are on the same accord so you can put out the best performance on game days. Because if not, you know, it hurts. So those guys in Tennessee, you know, I would, if I was in that situation, I probably would have done the same. Been out there, because I know coming up on Sunday, you're playing against the Buffalo Bills that are currently, I think, 4-0. And this is a big swing game for them, where if you can have that head-to-head matchup against Buffalo as a win, then that puts you ahead of them in the AFC division, you know, for the tiebreaker. So it's so many things that go into a football season. It's just it's just unprecedented right now, man. It's things that are just so up in the air. It's such influx, and I just want guys to be safe, but I definitely understand where they're coming from with just trying to better themselves and better the team.
Okay, Torrey, lastly, we need to get into Torrey's tips for Wheaton Kia and FanDuel. What do you got for week 5?
All right, so Torrey's tips for FanDuel. This week, I am picking on bad defenses. That's my whole thing. If you want to be a great fantasy football player, you got to understand it's not about marrying a player, but it's about finding teams that don't play defense. And the team that don't, it's the Atlanta Falcons and the Dallas Cowboys. So the Atlanta Falcons have a divisional game against the Carolina Panthers. So I have Teddy Bridgewater. He's a quarterback, dual threat guy that can get you a lot of yards. I got Mike Davis. He's coming to life. Robbie Anderson, he's a free agent that they picked up this past year for the Carolina Panthers. He's really good at stretching the field. He can take the top off the defense. I think this week for Kansas City, it would be a great opportunity for Tyreek Hill to really make a big splash. The Chiefs have been death by a thousand paper cuts, but I think this will be the week where Tyreek Hill breaks out. Darius Slayton of the New York Giants, they're playing against the Dallas Cowboys. Dallas loves to be in shootouts, so I'm taking the Giants' number one receiver. We're going to make something work with him. Austin Hooper, I think he's due for a big game. And last but not least, I like Amari Cooper of the Dallas Cowboys. If the Cowboys can continue to be in these shootouts, you got to have a player that Dak loves to throw the ball to, and Amari has been that dynamic wide receiver, 100-plus yards. This guy can get in the end zone, and he's a fantasy stud. And I take the Kansas City Chiefs defense this week. I think they're due for a big game as well. So that's Tory's tips.
For FanDuel and Wheaton Kia. Great job, Tori. From Colin in Ottawa, he says, Tori, if I have both Amari Cooper and CeeDee Lamb on my roster, is it a good idea to start both of them?
Yes, yeah, so you're cooking with grease. You know, it's Thanksgiving. Instead of you putting the turkey in the oven, you're putting that bad boy in grease. So make sure you keep an eye on it, and you should be okay because those guys are really going to get up and down the field. It's going to be very exciting. Right now with Mike Nolan, Rod, I know Dallas is your team, but Mike Nolan, he sucks as a defensive coordinator.
He's awful.
I don't think Dallas could play defense on a parked car right now. So whenever it's a shootout, you want to make sure you have guys that are getting in on the fun.
Yeah, I got Cowboys fan friends. Some are pro ballers or retired that are we're considering moving on from the Dallas Cowboys. It's been too much, but I'm not sure I can bring myself to do that. Folks, we got about 4.5 minutes left with Tory Gurley. If you have any fantasy questions, write in with him. Frenzy, the floor is yours. We got a few minutes left with Tory. What else would you like to know?
What chance do the Raiders have against Kansas City?
I don't think they have a chance at all. Now, if they were healthy, I would love to give them a chance. I'd probably take them with the spread, but with so many injuries they have as a team, I couldn't risk it. You know, Derek Carr is a really good quarterback, but you need your weapons out there. And whenever you're bringing in people off the street and trying to win football games, that's not good.
How about the Cleveland Browns? Great game last week against Dallas. They're going this week against Indianapolis in Cleveland. I think they're going to have two straight there. I like the way they're playing now. It was a great game last week.
Yeah, I'm definitely on the same side with you as that. I think the Browns as long as they keep it simple, I don't think Baker Mayfield should be a guy that goes out and throws the ball more than 25 times a game. So that means you're really going to depend on the run, the legs of Kareem Hunt, Nick Chubb, and the stable of backs they have. And from there, you can disperse to your playmakers, get it to Jarvis Landry and Odell Beckham. But Baker Mayfield, you know, this is a big year for him. He is in a contract year. Cleveland has not picked up his fifth-year option, so every game matters, so I think if he just go out, take care of the football, it can exploit that Colts defense. I think they're good. They're top. Currently, they're ranked number one in the NFL in defense, but I don't think they've played anyone notable. So I think this week will be a great test for them. But I can see the Browns actually getting the win because on the flip side, I'm not afraid of Phillip Rivers. You know, he loves to turn the ball over, and if Myles Garrett can get to the quarterback, I think it'll be a long day for the Colts.
Yes, and by the way, if they win, which I think they will, they'd be 4-1, which I believe would be the first time since the JFK administration, and I'm not even joking. just a quick thought. Lakers Heat could end tonight. Did I see your tweet that you think the NBA Finals has been anticlimactic?
Oh, yeah, it's been bad, but I'm happy for LeBron. I respect him as an athlete. I am a Michael Jordan person. Like, don't get me wrong, I love Michael. Michael is the GOAT, but just for everything LeBron stands for. You know, he's a guy that he's used his platform to create many opportunities for all people. You know, he has an I Promise school where when the kids graduate from high school, their tuition is paid for at the University of Akron, along with being a father and a hell of a basketball player. You know, I think it's great that the sun is shining on him and he has the opportunity to win a championship in a bubble while everyone else was counting them out. With all the adversity of COVID and even the death of Kobe Bryant, for him to step up and to get this win tonight, it'd be huge for him. And, you know, just shout out to LeBron, man, and his legacy.
Tory, happy Canadian Thanksgiving to the Gurley family and to the Hubick family. Thanks so much for all you do, my man. Good to see you.
Yes, sir. And congratulations to your parents, man. I pray Kim and I could get there one day where we 50 plus years of being married. So they're inspirations. So congrats to your parents as well.
You got a late start at it, but I think you can do it.
Thank you, Tory.
Tory Gurley, appreciate you. We will be right back. The fantasy advice brought to you by Wheaton Kia weekly here on the RP Show and FanDuel. When we return, a sports update. We're going to get into some CFL talk because it is a Flame Tech Football Friday, and whatever else you'd like to discuss in the viewer takeover segment. You're watching the RP Show across North America on Game Plus TV Network, Facebook Live. Subscribe at Apple Podcasts and leave us a review. And listen live at rodpeterson.com.
Head to youtube.com/The Rod Peterson Show now. You gotta subscribe. Click the subscribe button for all the content you may have missed. Did you know you can catch all the best moments from the show on all our social media platforms? Now, back to the studio with Rod.
Indeed, this is coming together real nicely. NFL fantasy advice with Tory Gurley. And now, more breaking news on the opening day of NHL free agency, which officially opened 43 minutes ago. Pat Maroon and Luke Shen are returning to the Tampa Bay Lightning. Radko Gudas has signed with the Florida Panthers. 3 years, $2.5 million. Former Golden Knights defenseman John Merrill is headed to Detroit for 1 year. This on the heels of what I say earlier, Wayne Simmonds going to the Maple Leafs. There's been a ton today. Thank you, producer Clark, the hound dog, for keeping me updated on the monitor here. So again, we've been able to keep our eye on two things, maybe more. It's worked well today. Sports update, the Los Angeles Dodgers polished off a sweep over the rival San Diego Padres with a 12-3 win to advance to the NLCS, where they'll meet the Atlanta Braves. The Braves are in the league championship series following a 7-0 shutout of the Marlins. Luke Voit and Gleyber Torres hit impressive home runs, and the Yankees beat the Tampa Bay Rays 5-1 to force a deciding fifth game in their American League Division Series. The Houston Astros beat the Oakland A's 11-6 to clinch their AL Division Series in four. It'll be the fourth straight trip to the American League Championship Series, but just the first under skipper Dusty Baker, their 71-year-old manager, and I think we're all praying for an Astros-Dodgers World Series. It would seem that they are on a collision course for that. Cairo Santos kicked a 38-yard field goal with 1:17 to go, and the Chicago Bears beat the Tampa Bay Buccaneers 20-19 after Tom Brady seemingly lost count of downs on his final play. Brady never lost to Chicago in five meetings as a member of the Patriots, but facing Nick Foles for the first time since New England fell to Philly in Super Bowl 52. The six-time champ once again came up short. And Clint Bauer will retire at the end of the NASCAR season and join the Fox Sports booth as an analyst. Bauer is in his 15th full season and heads into Sunday's race at Charlotte Motor Speedway facing elimination from the playoffs. He is ranked 11th in the 12-driver field that will be trimmed by four for the next round. I love, by the way, on the channel grid that it goes NFL Network, Game Plus Network, where you're watching the RP Show, and then Fox Sports Racing. We're in good company, Lynch.
Yeah, we are.
This sports update for Ballers Rec Room, Saskatchewan's newest entertainment destination. We are now booking company Christmas parties. We can handle your food and fun needs. Visit ballersrecroom.com.
How about that? What, October the 5th?
Advertising Christmas parties. Think ahead.
Yeah.
And for Red Bull Canada, Red Bull gives you wings. It's official. Thanks, guys. Henrik Lundqvist to the Washington Capitals. Again, Eddie Lack, don't quit your day job. As an NHL insider. Bob in Grand Prairie has written us on the Prairie Mobile text line 306-840-8777. That's 840-8777. Bob in Grand Prairie says, hi, guys. I wrote Randy Ambrosi a letter asking what the plan is so far for 2021. I'll let you know if I get a reply. See, I think that's fantastic. This is what the CFL needs to be, Lynch, and you can agree or disagree. The 100%. Fact that you could email the commissioner and expect to get an answer, and you probably will, is a wonderful CFL thing.
Never happened before. It's critical right now.
I think Cohan would have returned emails. I think a lot of these past commissioners would, and I'm pretty sure Randy Ambrosi will, too. It's not like he's not busy right now. Now, should you, as an NFL fan, expect to email Roger Goodell and expect a response? That's not going to happen.
No.
Or Gary Bettman.
No.
But that's the intimate nature of the Canadian Football League? And maybe that would have been a great poll question, by the way, today. Is the CFL obliged to update its fans on its plans for 2021? And they don't have to say every intricate detail of what they're doing, but it would be nice to have an idea. I saw an interview in the Wednesday Regina Leader Post where Ryder President Craig Reynolds was quoted as saying, "We need to play football in 2021. That's where the sentence ended. The inference I took from that is, if we don't, we're dead. That's what I took from that. Did you too?
Sure did. And so, the thing is, it amazes me. This is the league that needs the advertising more than anybody else right now. That's why, I mean, they should be out there doing something. Answering questions like what this fella says. A question. And overall, telling us what's going on. I know they say they're working, they're doing, we're going all out. But we'd like to know what they're doing. We hear the leagues, all the major football leagues and minor football leagues, are gathered this week in Toronto to come up with some basic plan that fits all the categories of football in Saskatchewan. But we found that out through the back door, eh? Nobody told us that from the league. We found it through the back door. So I don't know why they don't aggressively tell us what they're doing. We'd like to know, because football fans in Canada are really frustrated right now, disgusted, frustrated, ticked off. They don't know what's going to happen. I mean, a lot of them think the league's going to fold because they never hear anything.
Well, they might. I mean, my phone's gone kind of dead, too. I was taking 2-3 calls a day from CFL people, and maybe they're not employed anymore. I don't know. There just is not a lot of talk. And I'm with you. People want to know the future of the league. Maybe there's such a thing as the league leaders don't know what the future is, so they don't have anything to say. I'm not sure. Would we all be well served if they came out and said that? I don't know. I've got Randy Ambrosi's email. I've used it. Every time I've written him, he's gotten back to me. Every time. I think part of the reason for the silence is they just don't know where this is going, John. I swear.
But I don't like seeing a piece here in Regina on Dakota Shipley down with the San Francisco 49ers. I thought he was a pretty good football player.
Of course he is.
Then the next week, I see another picture of him with the 49ers. He is now the starting offensive center.
Yeah.
Because the original starting center had a serious injury. So he is now the starting offensive center, and they love him in San Francisco. We loved him here. He said he would love to play here if there wasn't for the pandemic. The timber. So I don't know. I don't think they realize where they're at. There should be there some way putting out news about signings or what's happening or something about coaches, etc. I get many people ask me, is the coach signed? Yes, he is. How about the assistants? I don't know. Are they going to cut back on assistants? Is it right? The Riders had 14 assistants last year. Everybody, other team had only 11. Do you believe that?
No.
Yeah. Maybe
there's always going to be rumors.
Yeah. So, but
and you can't really put a lot of stock in them. But hey, we're going to take a break and come back with Viewer Takeover. We'll take a longer Viewer Takeover segment. Larry is watching. Larry Dye in Medicine Hat, and says email campaign. Everyone,
wouldn't that be great?
What is that going to solve, though? Listen, on behalf of us all. Bob in Grand Prairie, Alberta, has emailed the commissioner asking for the plan. Let's just get the one answer from Bob in Grand Prairie, and we'll go with that. Why would we flood his inbox? That's just going to tick him off. Landon, by the way, Andre says, Rod, you should do a special episode with a live studio audience. Would be sick. Listen, you know Paul, right, John?
That's right.
He gets things done.
That's right. He gets
things done. He is building an amphitheater just on the other side of a theater. Where we will be doing live Ellen Oprah-style Rod Peterson shows. Is it okay that I tell them that? Here's me divulging the plan. Bad me.
Well, that's great.
Sports update. Sorry. Viewer Takeover coming up next. Load them up. Prairie Mobile text line 306-840-8777. The Facebook live feed is live today as well. We'll be right back on Game Plus TV Network, Facebook Live, and listen live at rodpeterson.com.
You got something to say? You want to add to the show?
You can still chime in from wherever you are in the comment section. As a matter of fact, we encourage that.
What are you waiting for? Don't just sit there. Say something. Send us your opinions now. We won't victimize you unless you really deserve it. Now, back to your host, Rod Peterson.
Hey, welcome back to the program, everybody. It is a Flame Tech Football Friday. We're coming to you out of the bunker here in Western Canada, the sweatpants capital. Viewer takeover. This is exactly what we want. We've got viewers in Ontario watching on Game Plus TV. Ray writes in from the 416, Lynch, from the 6. He says, hey, Rod, no one cares about the Argos in Toronto before. I would hate to think what happens if there was no CFL for 2 years. Signed, Ray, a true CFL fan. And it's a good question.
It's a great question. Well, right on.
Yeah, and on the way up here, because I pick Lynch up every Friday and drive him up here, that's when we have our best visits, right?
No question.
I said the mayor of L.A. has said there will be no public gatherings in Los Angeles. Reportedly, I still haven't seen it printed anywhere. I was told this until Labor Day of 2021. And if that comes to Canada, what do you think that'll mean to the CFL, Lynch? Your head went...
Oh.
On the dashboard.
Death. It'd be the end of it for sure. I hope not. I sure hope not. I still don't understand basic things like why are the Tennessee Titans the only team that's been punished so toughly? I mean, most of those NFL teams are okay, no problems, but three or four of them have three or four guys that are being suspended. But 23 from the Tennessee Titans, I just don't understand that. How they do those stupid things.
Well, that's a question for another time, Lynch, because at least the NFL is playing. I'm just, you know, you got Ray in Toronto watching. He's a CFL fan, and that's what we're all saying. And I think it was a thinly veiled comment by the president of the Rough Riders on Wednesday in the newspaper here that we need to play in 2021. I am loosely paraphrasing him saying we all know we need to play football in 2021. The option is, what if they don't? And it goes back to the theme earlier is, should the CFL divulge what plan they're working on right now? It's been weeks. We don't have one. And I'm not even sitting here banging on them for it. I don't know what kind of a plan they can come up with until they know whether they can play or not. Is that fair?
Yes, it is. But they got to have some kind of plan in December for Christmas, for a Christmas present for a lot of fans. I'm sure they can see that.
It's only 2 months away, buddy.
I know it is. I'm saying sometime in the next 2 weeks, a Christmas present of telling us what's going to happen. Just let us know. Because they've done a lot of togetherness in some ways and don't get any answers, which I don't understand. What's the big mystery out there? Eh?
The mystery is they weren't able to play this year in a COVID environment. And if the COVID environment is no different in 2021, what makes us believe they're going to be able to play then? And that's why all these layoffs are occurring, by the way. It saddens me that people are writing me from across the league going, hey, congrats, Rod, you nailed it. All these layoffs happened. I said, that's not anything to be proud of. How can people not see that the CFL's not playing games? It's not making money. They can't afford to have costs. And labor's your number one cost. That's nothing to celebrate. Who didn't see that coming? Lynch, was it a surprise?
No. But a lot of people don't see it. I mean, they just don't want to see it, so they don't see it. I can't believe all the fans in Toronto and then states just out there going to the bars, dances, and the beaches are just filled. Wow. They don't have any, it doesn't affect them at all, they don't think. They're super people. Nothing's going to happen. It's a big place, they say in the States, they say it's a big country, only just a small people. Small percentage sick, and a very small percentage die, which is a terrible way to look at things.
People die every day.
Yep.
And I don't think today's the day that we're going to go back into that topic. States like Florida have a different way of dealing with it than the way Canada has, but you know what? We're seeing a return to hockey, which makes me very happy because I'll be back in the broadcast booth here shortly, and I'm just not going to go into government controls. The governments have said, here's the protocols you need to follow. If you can follow them, you can return to play. The NHL did it in this country. The CFL couldn't find a way to do it, nor these amateur leagues. Oh, by the way, Paul's watching. You know the infamous Paul Drouin,
our
sugar daddy here. He's watching from Tim Hortons. Awesome. Just hang on, Lynch. I divulged the plan, Paul. I don't know if you saw or not. I told him that you're building an amphitheater here on one of the lower floors in the building. We will have a Ellen, Jerry Springer-esque feel to the program coming soon to the RP show once we allow crowds. Coming up in hour two, Craig Rowe of the Toronto Argonauts. More with John Frenzy. Keep it going on Facebook Live. Join us over there. And for the rest of you, it's been a Flame Tech Football Friday. We will see you Monday, 10 a.m. on Game Plus.
While there's smoke, there's fire.
For more Rod Peterson On Demand, visit rodpeterson.com.